Welcome back for episode 13. This week, we discuss a few missing persons cases from the East Coast. The first one is still considered missing, Tanita Michelle Brooks, out of Durham, North Carolina. The other three men went missing during the winter in New Jersey and were later found dead. We also discuss a lack of awareness and a lack of appropriate response to these types of situations within the police force and with other forces. Stay tuned to hear more. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Special Criminals. This is Casey, and I'm here with my sister Monica.
Hello, you guys.
Welcome to episode 13.
Yes, of the new season.
We have season three. Yes, we will. This is going to be a little different, so I'm going to say that from the beginning. I'm calling it Missing Persons, but it's also going to be like, I don't know what to say to us, like a slash expose, maybe? I don't know what to call it.
Okay.
It'll be a mix, mostly because I have a few cases. Some we do kind of know the outcome of, but it's not any one of them that was enough on their own. So I just wanted to have a moment to talk about these different cases and kind of this pattern that sometimes we might see. So this is, again, going to be a little bit different.
Mm-hmm. You read my mind. I was like, ooh, it sounds like a pattern.
Yeah. And then with that information, that's why I want to talk about kind of the end of it, or at the end, I want to talk a little bit about what are we doing when these types of things happening, and what could, as maybe like as a system that's not in place right now. That's the expose part.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's fair. Cause I mean, and for anyone not in education or something like that, that's very normal. Like, why are we continuing to see these patterns, these shifts in whatever? We just got done talking about pattern where teacher, this, whatever, this happens, and now they're back, and then that happens. And it's like, yeah, so very normal. And it's something we both enjoy. So sucks for you if you don't.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I think, again, it's just looking at, and truthfully, what I was a little surprised by are things that might be put into place, but no one's really using it. And so then there's that component where it's like, well, hold on, you know. So anywho, let's go through our quick disclaimers and our plug. First, the plug, because that's just quicker. But if you guys can like, rate, and review, follow us on social media, share us with a friend, it just helps us get noticed by other people. And then if you... we'll do the disclaimers. And so if one, we have, we're talking about people with disabilities or diagnoses in a new format. So whether they are a missing person, maybe it's an unsolved murder, or maybe it's a celebrity case, could be historical. Also, we've done some current events. So
kind of shotgunned across the board.
Yeah. So we're doing different things, but all of it is in the vein to kind of bring awareness and an understanding to different things. For example, this is before you remind me to come back to disclaimers, but
okay.
Also, I guess second disclaimer, we go on tangents, which I'm about to do right now. So Jason and I have been watching The Watcher. I don't know if you've seen that on Netflix.
No.
Yes. Okay. So we've been watching The Watcher, and it's apparently based on true events. So of course, I know that's like a loose term for something. I did Google. I didn't look too much into it because I didn't want to ruin the show, but I did Google, and it really is like based on something that actually happened. Oh, we're at this point in the episode where we're like, this is like, what? And so we were debating, like, are we along for the ride? Like basically this guy, like the main character, some of the main characters, but he's gone crazy and we're just along for the crazy ride, you know, like we're on the crazy train with him.
Oh,
because none of it makes sense. Or is it going to be one of those weird, like twisty things, you know, at the end? But I was saying that that's kind of what like you and I try to do sometimes is to talk about, like, if we are on the crazy train with him, then it is like, cause we were both like, what's happening? Like, this doesn't make sense, you know? And so just that feeling, but if it was really happening to you, you would be like, what the hell? Like, what is going on? You know, and so just having that component. So you should, I'll let's say you should watch it, but just that component of like, this guy, if we're along with him, all of us are like,
What?
They were, I thought they died, but now they're here, you know? And so, and if that was really happening, you would be like, what? So
what is happening? Yeah. They came back. Is it a comic book? I mean,
yeah. And we were like, we did see them. They took them out in gurneys, didn't they? Like they were, you know what I mean? Like we were, we were going through it together, but all that say, I was telling him that that's kind of what you and I try to do is bring that component of like, yes, obviously maybe someone did something really horrible. And I feel like they're setting this up for this guy, the father, the main character. He's going to murder the whole town. I just feel like that's what's coming. And obviously that would be very horrible. But if he is experiencing these experiences, that is also making us as like the person watching going, what? Like, what is happening? So
if he did that thing, would it almost, in the context of what we're assuming with like, you know, unreliable narrators and all that, if what he's experiencing is really what he's experiencing and we're watching it, would it make sense
that he ends up,
we're like, because, oh, it's horrible, but if I really thought that everybody had implants behind their eyes and I needed to save them by digging them out or whatever, and then like, you're like, oh, okay.
And I mean, and if you've seen the show, you know, but it's like, it just the building and the tension, and it's like, okay, it starts off like this, but then like, what is this now? This happened to other people, but like when he talked to him, then he saw him on a commercial. So apparently he's an actor, you know? So then it's like, wait, so do we believe what he said before? You know? So you just kind of go through it and like, well, what about this? And what about that guy? And as you go through it with him, you are also like, what? And then it does just make you like, if he, like I said, if he loses his mind, which I assume he will and kills everybody, you kind of get where it's like, I mean,
oh,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of like a movie length version or something of those social experiments where they have you go into a trailer and you get to experience what it's like for someone that has schizophrenia you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of what it reminds me of.
Well, yeah. And they actually have like those, have you seen those commercials where it like, it gives you the experience? And actually also randomly, I found this video that I thought was like so good, but it was this video that was trying to show what it's like for English language learners, like in an English classroom, right? An English speaking classroom. And it was done so well that it just gives you like from his perspective, right? Where they were talking about a word problem. And it said, if he has to travel three city blocks to get here, but then he has to go this far, like how far is he going or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, and so, but then it shows him and he's still stuck on the blocks.
Like what
and
that
so
mean?
He visualizes someone carrying blocks and he's like, why does he have the blocks? You know? And then the classmate is like, no, city block, three blocks, like he's going. And he's like, oh. And then he still has to process the rest of the information to get to like solving the problem, you know? And so it's just, it just kind of takes you through. And then he gets the answer and he gets it right. But then they say, well, how did you get the answer? And he just keeps repeating the answer because he can't explain. You know what I mean? And it was like, oh, I just felt. I felt for that poor kid. It was such a good video though.
Yes. Well, and I had also, speaking of ESL or, you know, whatever, I had to participate in orientation, yay, for the new job, you know, just so I can kind of see what they learn, you know, go through. Mm. I don't know if I have to do additional days, please God. Anyway, it was fine. But there was this really, really nice lady, Maria, when she came in to get on board and all that stuff, she had her son with her to help translate. But of course, my immediate fear is now, of course, who's going to do it? Right? Do we have websites for this company that are also in Spanish? Like, how is this? And just, she was sitting across from me and I kept having this very like visceral reaction of it, and they did their best, but how isolating for that poor lady. She's sitting there.
Wait, so she was a new hire as well?
New hire. Yeah.
Oh.
And she's sitting there with the majority of everything in English. with a guy that would sometimes translate for her. But what a long, isolating day it is to have just, you don't know what's, you know, the majority of what's being said, like just, ugh. So I really did my best to try and, you know, like, acknowledge her. Yes. Yeah. But you know, I don't speak enough Spanish. Right. And when I do, it's very white. So I'm like, I can't help you. I'm so sorry. Anyway. So tangent aside, I guess that, that really does take care of that disclaimer.
Right. Perfect example.
We love tangents.
Yes. And then also we do laugh at sometimes inappropriate things or something that you may find inappropriate. And I guess the last one is just the perspective that we're looking at this from is from the educational side of experiences that we've had throughout our years and our professional years. Mm-hmm. We are not clinical psychologists. And so if we do have discussions or make speculations, it's just from that level of understanding. It's not from, you know, something that we could, like, we wouldn't have the power to diagnose anyone or anything.
No.
So I will hop in. I wanted to start at, so like I said, I'm going to talk about first a missing persons case. There's not a lot of information about this girl, or I say girl, about this woman. Even though she's been missing for about 3 years, well, I guess going on four, well, three, really a little over three, but she's been missing since 2019. But really there's not a ton on her. And so I found this story. It was like, okay, gosh, what, you know, what's happening here? I do have some information. I don't even have an official diagnosis, but we can talk about her struggles. And then with that, it was like, okay, I'm kind of hitting a wall. So there's a part of it that's like, there's not a lot of visibility on this case, but also I think partially it's because there's not a lot of information out there. Like every website, if you look her up, every website almost says the exact same thing.
Ooh, yeah. I hate that.
It's just, here's the information, you know, and it was like, that's it, you know, and then I found a news agency picked it up and did a story on it. And it was the same thing in all the articles. And I was like, okay, so either they got it straight from the articles or the articles got it straight from them. I found like the official FBI missing persons poster that I will also post.
Oh, wow.
But that's it. So all that to say, I started to look at other cases similar, right? So, you know, I might not have a ton of information on every case, but I thought maybe every so often, especially with missing persons, which I found these would be considered critical missing persons, which we'll talk about. That'll be towards the end. But with these types of cases, you know, maybe we just do a few and we kind of put the spotlight out there and raise the awareness if you're in these states or if you have any, you know, in the area or whatever, you know. So that's kind of where this is going. And if I do another missing persons, because I have ended up now since I have found probably six more like this.
Oh,
and
my
so,
gosh. Talk you about know, I might.
Yeah, literally. So then it was like, now the other ones I'm going to talk about are a little bit different, but similar sad situation. We do know what happened to them, but all that to say, you know, the next time I do a missing person, if I don't have enough on like one specific case, you might, you know, we might see this again where I'll spotlight maybe three or so and we'll talk about information there. So my first gal, her name is Tanita Michelle Brooks.
Okay. Can I Google what she looks like?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I have pictures here too.
Oh, but. Okay. Okay.
So she is missing. She's been missing since September of 2019. Now there, I feel like, I don't know if that's fair to say, but we'll talk about that in a second. But since late to fall time of 2019, she's missing from Durham, North Carolina. Okay. She is considered her classification is endangered missing, which is a term that people use. Again, I'll talk about that in a little bit.
Okay. Cause I had questions.
Yeah. But she is a female. Her race is listed as Black or African American. She was born in, September 30th, 1974. So she had just turned 45 when she went missing. She's 48 now. So her height and her weight, she has been listed, depending on what you find or where you see it, anywhere between 5 foot and 5'4".
I mean, that's quite substantially different.
Yeah. She also, I don't know if this one says it, her nickname was Lil Bit.
I would assume 5 foot's probably closer to.
Well, see, some of the ones I saw said 5'2", some said 5'3". I think probably she's probably right in the middle there, but that's what she's listed as. And then her weight, it says anywhere from 90 to 120 pounds. But most I saw said 110 or 120. So I'm not really sure where the 90 came from.
Huh.
But again, she was 45.
That's pretty good. I mean, I guess.
I know. Although she's a little thing.
Yeah.
She's a little thing. Yeah. So very short, very, very thin. So she suffers from epileptic seizures. So we do have that official diagnosis. If you are not fully aware, epileptic seizures is a condition where you, essentially you could have a seizure at any point, any day, every day for however long. They could look different. Oftentimes I find with epilepsy, they might have some where it's, there's different types of seizures. So there's petite mal, meaning like a small seizure. There's also absent seizures where basically you're not really moving or doing anything. You're just kind of like, it looks like you're zoned out.
That was
you're
actually having a little daydreaming almost. Yeah.
Yeah. But you're actually having a seizure. Like I said, then there's the petite mal on the scale, if you want to say that would kind of be next where it's very small. Again, it would be almost like, I think sometimes you see people might kind of clench in.
Mm, yeah.
But they're not like the violent shaking and that. So that would be like the grand throwing. Mal. Right.
Side note, I had a para one of my first years teaching over at my Sevier school. Who, do you remember this? She would say that she would have seizures and she would just sit Casey in the chair and go, blah, 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 just her upper body. Just like, but then she could speak immediately, walk immediately.
No.
I was like, you lying.
You wrong. Well, yeah.
If you need to go home, just tell me or tell the principal more specifically. I'm not in charge of any of that. But
sure.
But yeah, seizures are no joke. Yeah.
Right. And so then, like I said, there's also the grand mal. So that would be where, like Monica said, so it's more violent. It's the full body shaking. At this point, they've lost control of their body. They are usually on the floor, you know, like violently jerking. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because I think like that's what people, that's what you see.
Often.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Because that's what you see in movies, TV
media
shows.
Yep.
Yeah. Or if someone's like in the hospital and they're coding and they're like, you know, and they just like start shaking in the bed. So I think that's what people usually associate with seizures, but there's actually a lot of different kinds.
Yeah.
So I wanted to mention
that. I think it's the ones that aren't like super visible that tend for me to be the scariest because you can still have long-term damage.
Yes.
You know, and that's why people have to have medication to live daily, you know, normal lives. Not all the time. Mm-hmm. But like, yeah, it's the invisible ones that always made me most nervous.
Sure. Yeah. Cause like you said, it's like, oh, you might not know fully that it's happening, but then you're supposed to be able to report how many are, you know, the frequency. I remember when I was a para in one of our more extensive needs classrooms. So it was a program for students with autism and they were, that more of the high needs population. So they were, a lot of them were nonverbal. A lot of them had, maybe were still in diapers, you know, that type of stuff.
Are these like the medically fragile kiddos?
Some of them were, yeah.
Okay.
But they were high school. So, I mean, they were big kids.
Oh yeah. No, don't get me wrong.
But yeah, so they did have some medical, a lot of them did have kind of medical pieces. We had to help feed a lot of them, you know, so it was that type of piece. And one of our students, he would have seizures. And I remember the first time it happened and it was like, it's always terrifying. But afterwards he was like catatonic. Like he was like, you get it and you can just see it because it just drains them so much. Mm-hmm. That it was like he fell asleep. He could barely keep his eyes open. And when he was awake, he was just like this. Like he would just like, you know, half awake almost. Like it was just, you could tell that his body was just like shut down, you know.
Oh my gosh.
And it was, yeah. And of course, he really couldn't speak either way. And so we were just trying to be, it's not like he could tell us, like, I feel so tired or I would, you know.
Comfortable. Oh my gosh, poor guy. Yeah,
and so we just tried to comfort him and like, it's okay. It was just so sad. But anyways, all that to say, Tanita had epileptic seizures. And also, a lot of people mentioned that she, when they talk about her, they just say, well, she was disabled. So digging into that a little more, her left arm and hand were paralyzed, and I couldn't find exactly why, but she had the the deformity, like her hand, like her left hand was smaller. Honestly, on some of the pictures, I couldn't even tell if she was missing fingers, but it was like cramped in. So she had like no function of her left arm, hand.
You think that was like cerebral palsy type of thing?
I thought it could be. She had a noticeable limp. So a lot of people talked about her, you know, so she had the limp. She had a scar on her abdomen. She was also described as very childlike.
Gotcha.
Yep. She had a very trusting disposition.
So code for potentially intellectually disabled.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. And so as Monica and I have talked about before, we have that designation of, you know, intellectually disabled, but oftentimes now also sometimes, you know, people that have been diagnosed with like Down syndrome, they also have this too, where they're again, very childlike, very trusting, very like often loving or always very happy. But I think if that was it, I think it's pretty clear that she does not have that. So usually if it's not Down syndrome, it's intellectual disability.
Yeah. When people describe like that, you're right.
And so that's how she was described by friends and family, but obviously my words didn't want to come out all the way.
Oh no.
But with that, you know, that makes it really concerning because she's, more susceptible to what can happen.
Yes.
So as a missing person, everybody was extra concerned. Now, now I'm going to talk about the details of her disappearance when she was last seen. So she was last seen, like I said, in Durham, North Carolina. That's where she also lived. She was last seen on September 23rd, 2019. She has never been heard from again.
Now. No. Okay. Go ahead. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Well, I was going to ask, it completely disappeared. I mean, that's already pretty hard to do without anything, but did she have access to like the means by which to reach out and contact? Like, does she have a cell phone? You know, things
I'll
like
talk
that.
About that.
Okay. Okay.
Yes. So now part of this I find interesting because her family reports that they last heard from her late August. But then there were reports that she had been seen in September. So there's a little bit of that. Now, I am going to say right now, not that I'm trying to be judgmental or victim shame or anything, or I guess victim's family shame, but there's some stuff around this that I just kind of go, okay, like, I don't know that I super agree with the support, with how this happened. So let me get into it a little bit. So she was reported as not having a stable address or a stable phone number.
She was transient / homeless.
Mm-hmm.
And she has family that had stable housing?
Yes.
Girl, no.
That's what I'm saying.
No.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Right.
Mm-mm. No,
so, I'm mad. Exactly. So, and then it gets worse on her family's end.
No, it doesn't.
Like I said, I don't want it to be that way, but also I read this and I'm like, what? Like, okay.
Well, okay.
Nope. So if you are in the North Carolina area, you know, if you're in North Carolina in the Durham area, it said that she would frequent Holloway Street, in the areas between North Alston Avenue and Rainer Street. She would usually either walk to where she needed to go, or sometimes she would accept rides from strangers.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. She was not, was not reported missing until October 25th.
Fine. Bad words. I don't want this to have an explicit rating.
Over a month after she was last seen and 2 months since her family had heard from her.
No, F that. I am all for shaming the victim's family at this point. That is awful. You have someone who is is potentially developmentally, if not intellectually, disabled. You have someone who is physically disabled, who is transient without stable housing, even though you have secure housing. And you wait that long. You think it's just normal that she's what?
And it does get worse. So it said, although she was transient, she would always keep in touch with her children. Now, I have never found anything else about her children, so I don't know
just
that.
Okay.
This is just this one time I've seen her children mentioned. Anyways, it says, and this particular is from the Charlie Project. This is the one that I got a little more information from, but the rest of them were pretty, like I said, copy and paste, like, you know. Okay, so it says that she would always keep in touch with her children and all of her other relatives. She also often visited her siblings. So then it says, okay, it says her three children, twin daughters and a son, lived with her brother at the time of the disappearance. And like I said, that was the only time I really saw her kids, any children of hers mentioned. But it says that she would often reach out. She would talk with her children. And other reports I saw said that she would check in every week at least once. You know what I mean? And so then her brother had her kids. This report is saying her brother had her kids. She also had other siblings in the area. And like I said, she was often seen walking and going from place to place to place. But she herself was transient.
See, I mean, and I guess this is where, for many reasons, I wish that there was more information, because I part of me would understand, you know, if she gotten there, let someone in the house that didn't need to be there because she's so trusting, and they robbed the siblings blind, you know, killed the dog, whatever, you know, something to make it make sense of why you would do this to your sibling. Now, I could think of an ongoing issue right now that would make, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Where you're like, oh, I get it. But without that context.
Right.
Like, it just sounds like they're awful people, to be completely just blunt.
Well, but also, again, like, there, I saw this, I watched this video with her brother, and he said basically what I'm going to say next, but he said she was always kind. Again, they said that she was very childlike. She was very trusting, but that she was loved. And so they said, well, we're really concerned for her safety. And I'm like, but
not enough, asshole. Like, what the
So then it says,
audibly gasped. What?
I know.
How dare you claim that?
I know.
Like,
And then also,
I didn't hear from her for 2 months, and she usually checks in at least once a week. And
exactly.
What? I mean, but she's a grown person. Right. So, like, I just can't, Casey.
Well, and and again, that's where it's like people, I'm going to pull up the news article, but people said that she checked in every week. She was, you know, So let's see, I want to say, and then also it said that Corporal Green of the Durham Police Department actually recognized her when he saw her, that she went missing. He said, I would actually see her myself going to and from work. I travel using Liberty and Holloway Street. So I would always see her a few times a week. And then it says that she was often visiting. She would go to Long Meadow Park and visit with friends, or she would go to the downtown area. And that's where she was last seen in September. Now it said, it wasn't, now Corporal Green from the police department said it wasn't unusual for her to be away from her home for a few days at a time.
He says home like she had a home. What does that mean?
Yeah. I'm guessing it means like if she was with family bouncing around. Okay. I don't know. But this was an extreme case, he said. Now, after 2 months of hoping that she'd come back home, her family finally decided to file a police report. So people have rumored that Tanita was found dead, you know, that type of thing. But Corporal Green says there's no truth to that. She is still considered a missing person. Quote, he says, she is still considered a missing person. There is no evidence to say otherwise at this time.
Except she's been gone for a whole 2 months. Like, what, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's that.
What's the likelihood? She's been gone, yeah, for much, much longer.
Welfare.
Now, it says that since she went missing, her grandmother, who she was very close to and would talk with every day, and also her son have both died. It says that she didn't go to either funeral. She might be aware that they died.
No, she's dead.
Obviously. Yes. It says that her disappearance has remained unsolved.
I'm absolutely stunned.
Yes.
Like,
so she, I meant to say before, she has black hair as well as brown eyes. I think I did say that she has a noticeable limp and that her nickname was Lil Bit. Sometimes she wears her hair in corn rolls, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Corn rolls. What did I say? Rolls?
Rolls.
Corn rolls. Corn rows. So that's my first one. And again, I feel like this one, and really, I don't have much more. Like, that's it. You can find the news article. You can find the CBS report. You can look her up. But that's about as far as the information goes.
Are the other ones you're about to talk about going to make me angry too? Like, how could this person just be gone without you caring for
potentially? But we do know what we do know. It's not a happy ending, but we do know what's happened to the next three.
Oh, okay. Well, no, you're right. That doesn't sound happy.
We know, but it's not. It's also, again, part of like a bigger issue.
Okay.
So, I kind of stuck with the East Coast. So, not to pick on y'all, East Coast people. It just happened to be that way. And like I said, it's like I still have up like two websites for two other people, but I thought, oh, I don't know if. So I might do these another time. But all that to say, that is Tanita Michelle Brooks. And so she is, again, still considered missing until they find something else or something changes in that aspect. But I think it's just, I think there was more that could have been done. I don't think it had to end this way for her, quote, end. I don't know, you know, but.
Well.
And it also does, it does just make me mad that like her family's going to sit there and be like, we miss her, we love her, you know, but like.
Oh yeah. No, that makes me super angry. And I don't know if it's the mandated reporter in me, you know, having a soft spot for people that have, you know, a diminished ability to evaluate things appropriately. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But I find stuff like that sickening. Like, this person obviously does not have the full capability of caring for themselves in a way,
right.
You know, and then you just say, well, not my problem. You know, like, I just, even though it's your family.
You know.
Okay.
Anyway. Well, and like I said, like, I think there's also that component of somebody who, obviously there's people that are just jerks, right? Like there's people that are just awful and they just make really bad choices and they're just doing all these really irresponsible, inappropriate things.
Oh, trust me.
And yeah, those ones you might kind of go, okay, you know what? I think I'm done. I think I'm done helping. I think I'm done caring. But when you have something like this where she's got diagnoses, she's obviously got some physical disabilities, she's got seizures, you know, which obviously can affect her brain and her mental capacity. You know, one good seizure can change someone's life, you know?
Oh yeah. Yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
So there's that component too, that it's like, if now, obviously, if that person is just a jerk as well.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a little bit of a gray area, but for the most part, those people, they need a little more grace. They need a little more understanding. And it's because obviously it's not something that they're choosing to do. Obviously, there are some disabled people that choose to also be an asshole. That's different.
That's very different.
Yeah.
Because my crazy neighbor, she has some kind of mental health issues, and I have tried so hard, Casey, to just be nice. But now that I know she's 44, that looks 64 and not actually 64, I will come on over. Let's sort it.
I mean,
because I'm not okay with punching old people, but I'm okay with punching someone my age who looks old.
Sure. Yeah. But just be careful, because then if it comes out, if she does have something, and it's going to be like, this lady beat up a disabled
woman. I know. I'm just speculating. She has mental health issues.
If you see, if I start doing this by myself, it's because my wife got arrested.
It's because my crazy neighbor actually tried it. She's going to be such a hypocrite. Hey. she ain't a kid. There is no special ed Walmart. Punch me. Do it.
Yeah, let her hit you first. Okay.
Well, yes.
This is going to be too.
Okay, Okay, go ahead. Continue. Sorry.
It's a choose your own adventure, Monica. Do you want to hear about three cases, three different people, all in the same area with similar circumstances?
Okay.
We do know what happened. We know what happened on both of these options. So there's an ending. So there's that. It's the East Coast. Three people. Definitely a story here. Or do you want to hear about one guy? He's in California. Also, we know what happened to him. He was missing for a certain amount of time, but he's California. So do you want to stay East Coast or do you want to swap?
I'm going to say stay East Coast, primarily because it sounds like there's a serial killer on the loose.
No. Okay. Yeah. But also,
okay, well, I still want to hear about it. Mm-hmm.
But all of this comes to bigger issues. So again, knowing that we're going to tie this in a bit with
systemic issues.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yes, that's the word, not systematic, systemic. So bigger issues. All right. So this next one we have is from New Jersey.
Okay.
So the news article, I'm just going to give you the headline and then we'll dive in. So the headline is, three men with intellectual disabilities went missing and died.
That's it? That's how you write the article? Mm-hmm.
That's the headline. Now,
well, I mean, you know, but still. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Now, this article is what led me down the next rabbit hole. Here's the rest of the headline. New Jersey has an alert to find them, but it has never been used.
I'm sorry, what? Mm-hmm. Like an Amber Alert, or they said, hey, this, oh, like that.
We will talk about towards the end, but that's what led me to that next part of this. Okay. This is an issue, because this is not New Jersey. Surprise, surprise. Not the only state that has something in place, but doesn't utilize it for this type of population. Okay. So. And then even more so, there are some states that have nothing in place for this type of population. Okay. So first we have Robert Nicholson. In December of 2018, that's when he was last seen alive, December 10th, 2018. It was 39 degrees and a low of 19 for the night.
Ooh. Yep.
He sat at the cafeteria table inside the REM Day Center in Vineland in New Jersey. Waiting for a bus for a day trip. Okay. It was only his second day at this facility, but by 1:40, so about less than 30 minutes later, when the bus came, no one could find him.
Oh my Lord. Okay.
Okay. He was not in the building. He was not in the surrounding areas. He was nowhere to be seen. Okay. 25 minutes. And again, I just want to repeat that. He was at a cafeteria table inside this day center, this day facility.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Day programs have lots of staff, or they should.
Because of the purpose. Things like this.
Yes.
Now, It was, again, second day at the facility. So the lead worker told the police that it was his first day supervising Nicholson. Did I say his name? Robert Nicholson. Sorry.
Yeah.
I don't know if I did. Okay. It was his first day supervising him. And he said he didn't know very much about the 28-year-old's needs. Okay. So he was 28 years old.
Okay.
But the group home manager said she had provided all of the necessary information for Nicholson, also including information that said Nicholson had to have a line of sight, he had a line of sight classification, which means
you keep your eyes on him. Damn it.
Exactly. He should never go unsupervised ever. So line of sight means you always have eyes on this person.
Yes, because they're flight risk.
Exactly. They're in your vicinity. Like you see them at all times. So the group home manager gave that information to the day center. And then the people at the day center were like, we didn't know. Okay. So officers searched the area. They went, now again, this is in New Jersey. I don't know, but they went from Boulevard, South City Line to North. Because remember, he was supposed to be on the bus. Mm-hmm. According to the missing persons reports from the Vineland Police Department, they found no trace of him. And again, they mentioned that he does have serious intellectual disabilities. On December 26th, more than 2 weeks later, a landscaper found his body about 3.5 miles away. He was frozen to death outside with his baseball cap, a hooded sweatshirt. I just want you to picture this. Jeans, a hoodie, and a backpack. And a baseball hat. But that's it. He's in 19 to 39 degree weather. Jeans and a hoodie. Okay. This is Robert Nicholson.
Oh, he had a great smile.
He did. So he was just one of three men with intellectual disabilities who got lost late in the year, last year. So again, what year are we? 2018. Okay.
Yeah.
So who got lost in 2018 and then later were found dead in the elements outside. Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's where I wanted to mention that's kind of the scope of this. So we'll talk about the other two. First one, his name is Juan Garcia. The second one, his name is Joseph Brockington. Okay. Those two were friends. Okay. They lost their way while they were walking to a Wawa. I don't know what a Wawa is.
It's like gas station, convenience
okay.
store.
Okay. Yeah. I was like, now that I read that again, I was like, I meant to look that up, but I never did. Okay.
Yeah. So Wawas are a big deal on like the East Coast.
Are they?
Like, oh yeah. Like okay, in Texas, maybe too.
See, first when I read that, I was like, cause remember how there was like the Whataburger,
Whataburger. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, Is it like that where it's kind of like, it's not the name, but that's kind of what, just how people say it, you know?
Oh yeah. You're right. I'll pull up a picture of a Wawa for you. Yeah. No, okay. It's a big deal. It's like Bucky's type of thing, or
I don't know what that is.
Like a, you know what? This is a whole other rabbit hole. Okay, I'll show you what a Wawa is.
We'll get back to it. So anyways, like I said, Juan Garcia, Joseph Brockington, were friends and they were walking to a Wawa in Burlington County and then they got lost. Okay. So, in this case, they also talked about the fact that between 14 and 16,000 people go missing in New Jersey every year. I'm going to say that again, 14 to 16,000
people. Oh my gosh.
They call it in the Garden State, but every year.
I'm amazed.
Some are runaways. Some are victims of crimes. Some are just accidents. But more and more, they're just seeing a larger population go missing. And then it says when it comes to adults with intellectual disabilities that should be in full-time care facilities, they also have to consider it. Now, here... here's where I get a little bit like, okay, they said balancing their autonomy with their immediate needs becomes an obstacle for authorities.
Nope. That is a cop out.
Exactly.
A cop out.
Nope. Exactly. Because Yeah. Within reason, within a facility, within a program, within an assisted living situation, allow them to have autonomy. But when they are out on their own, they don't have autonomy because they can't. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Now we're not talking about picking your own socks and shoes and shirt for the day.
That's, what do I want to eat?
Autonomy. Yeah.
Right.
Not being forced to conform to something in a private setting. But right. Yeah, no, absolutely not. You don't have autonomy when you are a flight risk. You pose a hazard to yourself because you are unable to care for your own safety needs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's a survival issue. Like I don't care if you like. I want my 7-year-old to have a certain amount of autonomy, but I'm not going to let him out in the world.
Oh, well, he just chose to go wander down the street and get hit by a car. Like, that's not how
that works. He wanted to go outside and just live his best life. And so I just let him go. Like, there's a certain level of autonomy that should be granted. Absolutely. 1000%.
I agree.
But however, and whatever you want to say.
No.
In these types of situations, autonomy goes out the window because they are out in the world. They are where they should not be because they should be in this facility being watched.
Having
cared for.
Eyes on supervision.
Yes. But now they are out in the world, in the elements, in the wild.
Well, and this is something that they literally can't navigate on their own.
Exactly.
I mean, this is why in education we have safety plans and safety-oriented material and modified curriculums and things like that, because their day-to-day needs are not going to be the same as you and I.
Right. And I mean, it's we have programs when students have these types of disabilities, we have special programs where we also try to work with them on how to just live.
Yes. Yes.
You need to shower. Mm-hmm. You need to wash your underwear. You know what I mean? Like,
yes, 100%.
They have to be taught these things. And and that's also, so these day programs are an extension of that.
Yes. Where, you know, and they get to do projects and interact with their peers, you know, of similar deficits or disabilities.
Needs,
and you know, everyone needs that stimulation and things like that. But at the end of the day, like,
there's a limit.
Yes, there is. And anyone that says that, oh, well, they deserve full autonomy. While I can see where you're coming from to some degree, if you would not allow, depending on the developmental issues of this person, your 4, 5, 6-year-old to do something on
their
own. Or
even 10, 11-year-old.
Exactly. Yeah. Then
to live alone. Exactly. You're going to be alone forever.
If you would not allow them to use knives, an oven, cook their own food, wash their own clothes.
Right.
Exactly. Yep. Then this individual, I don't care how old they are, is not as well.
It's the same.
And the worst part
same
is,
principle.
They would never be able to be that because their sponge can only hold so much information.
Right.
And absolutely not a slight on people with issues.
Sure.
But this shit makes me so angry.
It's acknowledging. We have to acknowledge the limits, right? And also I have that component too that I'm like, I don't think there are many people in the world that no one has eyes on ever. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, obviously if you're a recluse, but usually you are talking to somebody, you have someone calling, you're checking, maybe you're FaceTiming, but like, how many people can you honestly say have no interaction, no support, no system, no community? Mm-hmm. And I mean that in that sense, right?
Yes.
Your spouses, your family, your children, whatever, you know what I'm saying? So that doesn't ever happen, number one. And so the fact that these people, yes, they can be as independent as possible, but they still need support.
Goal.
It's just the support looks different, right? I'm an adult. I still need support. It just looks a lot different than someone who has an intellectual disability. So
yes,
I think.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. That's where we're coming from for that component. But also I agree. The police saying, oh, well, we want them to have some autonomy. Like, nope, sorry, not in this one. And so I agree with you that I think that was a bit of a cop out.
Mm.
Anyways, so obviously we have strong opinions on the authority response here, but to add to that, I guess we could talk about it a little bit, but it says in recent years, legislators unveiled a new tactic inspired by the Amber Alerts and the Silver Alerts. And so I don't know, I'm sure you've heard of, have you heard of Silver Alert?
Is that when an elderly like dementia yes. patient goes? Okay.
Well, not just dementia, but just elderly patient. Yeah. Okay. So if an elderly person goes missing, it's a Silver Alert so that they know to be on the lookout, number one. And number two, obviously they could be, you know, high risk.
Yeah.
So they started something in New Jersey called the MVP Alert. Okay.
So mobile about this. Vulnerable person.
Yeah, yeah, basically. So missing vulnerable person is what that means. Yes. So it's a for a missing person who is believed to have a mental, intellectual, developmental disability or defect, regardless of age. Okay.
Cool.
And also it's like if someone is obviously operating a vehicle or they are in a passenger in a vehicle, if they have been entered in as just a missing person in general with these criteria, if they're in danger. It does say, interestingly, that a suicidal person will not be considered for MVP.
I mean, that kind of makes sense because that typically suicidal tendencies are temporary in nature, whereas,
yes,
you know.
So, yeah, so yeah, strange, so it does talk about that. Yeah. And then it says that obviously if there's enough evidence to tag this as an MVP alert, then that way people, so it's not just a missing persons anymore. It's a missing vulnerable person. This law was established.
How many times has it been used?
Yes. It was established and passed in 2016. Okay. So now at the time of this article in 2019, guess how many times it had been used?
Oh man. Less than 100. Less than 50. Mm-hmm.
Zero.
Oh my God.
In the entire state of New Jersey, 3 years, zero times. Okay. Again, this is what led me down my other rabbit hole, which we'll talk about briefly at the end. Now, Mark Hopkins, chief with the Greater Philadelphia Search and Rescue, said, quote, "There's a fine line between independence and restraint that you don't want to cross." Quote, "Many times you have people that are mentally disabled in one way or another that are very high functioning and they could lead normal day-to-day lives much like our own. So whose job is it to decide?"
Like, I mean, literally somebody's because you made a whole program.
Right. Well, like, and part of it is like,
say what the right response is.
I know.
You can say.
anyone who's filed. And it's like, obviously, yes, there are people that have disabilities or diagnoses and they are high functioning and they are able and they live their life just like anybody else. And then there are those that are not. And so that's where it's like, we know the ones that are not that. They don't fit that criteria.
Oh, agreed.
So I mean, then they would be this.
Then, okay. And his argument immediately doesn't hold any water because they have something called a silver alert for elderly encapsulations.
Yeah. Yep.
Are you saying that elderly people are less able to make determinations than developmentally delayed? Really?
Yeah.
You're insulted? Yeah. What?
Yeah.
I.
So, yes. So anyways, obviously, you know, it talks about, it says, you know, to make sure that Nicholson and the other men, Garcia and Brockington. So here are the other two. They were the friends that went to the Wawa.
It's side note. It's kind of interesting how there are based on our own personal experiences, visual indicators, when we see someone that makes us go, oh, I think something's going on there, you know?
So it says, you know, it talks about the fact that, like, obviously people have every right to try to be as independent as they can.
100%. Yes. Yeah,
which again, we've said that a number of times. Absolutely. But also we have to make sure that they're not ending up in a situation that can become dangerous. And I think the other thing to consider, which we touched on briefly, but to talk about it slightly more, but oftentimes when even when we try to prepare people, when we try like our students or day programs, when they become adults, we try to prepare them, we give them the tools that they can, that they would need, right? Mm-hmm. To be as independent as they possibly could be. But one of the things that's obviously impossible to fully plan for is stressful situations, mm-hmm. right? We just can't. It just, if they're doing dishes or their laundry and something breaks and starts flooding, mm-hmm. right? We can't, we can talk about things, but we can't always, we can say, hey, what do you do if... But like, I mean, that's a stressful situation for normal, regular ass adults. Like how many times have we seen the meme or the joke about if you're like at someone else's house and you flush the toilet and we were like, there's things coming back. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's normal shit for us. Cause like, does everybody know how to reach down and turn off the water thing? You know? So,
I mean, I think, well, so we're into right to now. Your point, Summer and I, like a month or more ago, I was getting tea prepped. So across the kitchen, at the stove. And did I tell you this, that Summer was doing dishes and the handle for like, it goes zzzz and it comes out so you can spray things like, you know, on the sink. The faucet. Yeah. And well, that screws into each other. And somehow it had come undone and it came loose. And I just get hit by something and Summer's in the background going, help, help, do something. I'm like, so I have things in my hand. I have to process. I have to put it down. You know, and of course I would have turned it off. But when you were just literally in, that moment, in the middle, you're like, oh, I guess I could have done that too.
Yeah. Like, but your brain is like,
trying to like and put her hands over it. Like,
I know. Well, and it's like, and I mean,
all done things like that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And how many times have we seen like a movie or a show or whatever where someone puts a plastic bag over someone's head to strangle them? It took one time for someone, and I saw that a bajillion times going like, damn.
Break into it.
Yes. And then at one time someone was like, you just go oh, and just like poke a hole. And I was like, oh shit. Seriously? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Never considered that though. And so again, so I think obviously the point being, regular, fully functioning, exactly, adults get caught in situations. And so there is no way to fully prepare someone with a disability, an intellectual or otherwise disability, mm-hmm. for those types of moments too. And so it's like, yes, you know, and so then it says the other component is, well, if things do go wrong, it's also, I think sometimes comes down to who is responsible. It says,
totally agree, like social workers,
right?
You know, whatever.
And in this situation, it says, well, does it go just to the missing persons or does it go to missing persons and state police or is it missing persons and the facility where, you know what I mean? So then it kind of gets into one of these of
option E, all of the above.
Yeah.
Like right. Social workers on staff, mm-hmm. whatever, possibly medical, you mm-hmm. know, people. Cause what if you find that, you know, like, yes. My answer is yes.
Well, and so, you know, it talks about, I'm not going to obviously go into every nitty gritty detail, but it does talk about obviously in these three cases, all of these men, these ones just happen to be men, but they were supposed to be somewhere. They were obviously Nicholson was supposed to be monitored much more closely than mm-hmm. the other two, but either way, they were supposed to be in a certain place doing a certain thing with certain supervision. And then they weren't. And then they accounted all, for. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And then they were all found out in the elements of New Jersey in the winter.
It was always my worst fear to, and I counted compulsively, it felt like sometimes, mm-hmm. but always my worst fear to mm-hmm. all of a sudden come up one short.
Yeah.
Why was there not a person, you know what I'm saying? Like who mm-hmm. had this felt the same amount of responsibility.
Oh, totally.
Absolutely awful. Like,
yeah. Well, because like, I can't imagine.
And their families trusted them with these programs, like all of it. I'm like angry about every aspect.
Absolutely. And so it talks about like the more information in here, you know, kind of gives a little bit of a breakdown of what happened step by step in some of the cases. But I mean, some of it is like for example, Nicholson, he's obviously the most vulnerable in this situation. It said in the afternoon after he wandered off or whatever happened to him, it said that they spoke to the program. They entered his system or his information into the system. So it said this one specifically was the FBI's National Crime Information Center, so the NCIC database. But that's usually for
criminals.
Criminal agencies.
It sounds like that is not the appropriate place.
Right. So sent out a BOLO. Now, again, at no point, even though over two years, by this point had this special designation for this, and no point was that done. And then it said the next morning, police contacted the group home manager. Then she said the community was worried about him, and they themselves had formed a party.
Oh my gosh. And the police, sorry, I was taking a sip of something at the same time as I flailed. The next morning is when police, oh my Lord.
Yeah. And immediately, but by the time the police contacted them and all breakdown all over. So again, because we could dive way down this one.
Well, fair.
All over though. The agency, no one had, you know, it was a breakdown everywhere. So the group home manager did not come home, and they went and formed a party. And then they heard from the police. You know what I'm saying? It's just like that type of stuff. It said that, you know, he needed medication, obviously, daily. So then they tried to call and do his phone. It went straight to voicemail.
Great. Yeah.
And then it said that they tried to ping its location. And then they found that the phone had received a signal the day that he went missing. But then that was it. Then they followed up again on Wednesday, you know, then after that is when they put out a missing person flyer. So all that to say, like I said, in general, a breakdown on all levels, we could dive down like deep into this one case, but it really is that kind of takes me to my next thought, which is more of a systemic concern. And so I started to look up when I saw that they had a system, so the NVP alert, and that it hadn't been used in the 3 years since. I started to look through, is there a special alert in all states for this vulnerable population?
Really good question.
Yeah. And so I started to look that up. And so then I found that some states utilize a purple alert. So obviously we have an amber alert, we have a silver alert. There was a blue alert in some states, but then some states do the purple alert. So that's meaning obviously that we have a vulnerable person or a disabled person who's missing. Unfortunately though, not everybody utilizes the same thing. So for example, let's see. Texas is one that has a number of different ones that I thought was interesting. So they have a blue alert. That's a violent criminal who's on the loose.
Oh,
they have an endangered missing persons alert, which is what, obviously again, that's with like the disability, someone with a disability. They call it in Texas, it's called endangered missing persons. In New Jersey, it's called MVP, so missing vulnerable person.
Okay.
In Florida, it's a purple alert. Also, I thought this was interesting. Texas has a camo alert, which is to notify the public that a current or former member of the armed forces is missing.
Well, I think that's super smart because the suicide rate for those individuals is super high.
And it talks about that, especially those that are struggling with mental illness, you know, or obviously from their experiences. So that's one of them. Let's see. There was, I can't find the other one. I think it was like, 11 states have something in place. I can't find the number now. 11 states have something in place for this population.
I'm so a fifth. A fifth of the states.
Mm-hmm. But again, what I started to look into and what I have found is that even if they do have it, it's largely underutilized. And so I don't have all the specifics. I just didn't have enough time to map all that out. But there's not, like, even I tried to look at like standardized codes or standardized, like, is there one that everybody uses? But really there's not. So there is obviously the Amber Alert. And I think almost every state has adopted the Silver now. But other than that, there's not. And then unfortunately, I don't know if unfortunately is the best word, but some states have an endangered missing alert, but that could be a young child or someone with a developmental disability. Okay. And, or, you know, and so then it's like, well, so when is it Amber versus, you know?
Yeah. Amber for, well, taken children.
Yeah. Kidnapped.
But, yeah. But still, I mean, there needs to be a distinction. Like, like some kind of standardized protocol, like you're saying.
Right. Well, and again, there should be something that's used in all states, you know? And so.
Yeah. Like actually used.
Right. And in all states, because like I said, if only, and I will double check some of this. So again, that some of this was a quick rabbit hole that I went down and I was like, dang. But as I looked at really named, yes, I really saw, I think it was 11 or 12 that I saw listed as having some sort of protocol in place. Okay. Now, obviously it could be that the other states have a protocol. It just looks differently, or it's just a different code. It's not a color. It's a, you know, whatever, but 11 stood out right away. But other than that, it's like, so obviously it leads me to the question, does every state have this? And if they do, if they don't, they should, but if they do or they will, shouldn't it be the same? You know, because then I think of all the times that it crosses state lines.
I mean, I was thinking the same thing. Like,
you know,
yeah, like a common, well, I mean, how often have we discussed similar things in special education? Where it's right. Like, no, there has to be a common verbiage and language acquisition, for lack of a better term, in order to make sure we're all on the same page about what needs to take place with XYZ students.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and I mean, it's like we have obviously the IDEA, that's this set of laws, but then interpretation at every state looks hella different.
I agree. Same with the ADA, or, you know, even some of the other protections for families like FMLA. You know, like, it's frustrating.
Yeah. I know. And like I said, so it's like now, and I mean, if you Google, right? So if you look at emergency alert codes or emergency alert color codes, because then obviously there's emergency alerts like within, or codes within just like police, right? And then there's some that are within a hospital. We have like code or different alerts and codes for schools, you know? And so then it's like, well, what about just emergency alerts, right? And Amber is one of those that like you'll get on your phone if you have an emergency alerts on, but that's it. You know what I mean? And so then it's like, oh, what are the different type of alert programs? And then it does. It has, oh, well, it depends on the state. Da, da, da. You know what I mean? And so then it's like.
And then would that also have like natural events as part of it too? Like, oh my gosh.
And then if you look for what are different types of alerts that you can get, there's the purple, it says, what does purple, you know, it shows like all the questions that people search. What does the purple alert mean? What do the different colors mean? What's a gray? What's a white? What's a black? What's a yellow? You know, so then it's like all of the different things. What are the four major alert category? You know what I mean? And so, and then that made me think too, like, oh, yeah, because then you have the statewide, like there's a natural disaster alert, there's a, you know, power outage or a fire or whatever, you know, and so then it's like, but again, we have
a SIG alert.
Yeah.
I haven't thought about that since we've left California.
Right. But it's like, we have these, you know, all of these different things in place or not in place or should be in place. But all of it to say, it doesn't seem adequate. Like, I can't tell you that I've ever seen, at least in this area in California, I don't know that I've ever seen an alert for a disabled missing person.
No.
And again, I think it shouldn't matter the age. I think there should be something that's in place that's standardized, and it should have, obviously not just a criteria, because like New Jersey, they had a detailed criteria and people are still going, well, when do we do it? You know? And so it's like, it just seems like rabbit holes aside. Yes. Which, like I said, I'm sure we could dive way into this. And as I continue looking at situations like this, I likely will, but like, why aren't we putting these things into place that like Nicholson, Robert, right? That it had been over 72 hours before people were really like, huh? What? Oh, okay. Yeah. You know, as far as like police department and stuff. And so it's just like, and obviously what happened? He mm-hmm. froze to death. Yeah. You know, like how awful.
And it just makes me think, and I know that this is a massive rabbit hole that we can bring back up at a later time.
Sure.
But it really makes me think that there are so many different industries or agencies in which mm-hmm. this population of people continues to be failed at almost every turn.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be real.
Yeah.
Like our educational system struggles with finding appropriate, you know, post-secondary placement or like, you know, adult aftercare type of stuff. You know, we have the right intentions, I guess is what I'm trying mm-hmm. to say, but the application of this is often so faulty to the detriment of these populations.
Right.
You know?
And then people don't always care because it's like, well, I mean,
one lost taxpayer dollar spent. And it's like,
right.
That's not the right, you know, like,
I know. And that's where I just get to. It's like, okay, I know this might not affect you in your life, but also like these, like people who have these diagnoses or disabilities, like they didn't ask for this.
Yeah. You know through no fault of their own. Are they
right? They impacted. Are here mm-hmm. and they don't deserve any less. And especially if they go missing, they don't deserve any less effort. And like, for example, for the other two, just as a, you know, quick note, but for the other two, Garcia and Brockington, mm-hmm. the people that they were living with, the group home that they were living in, they notified them less than 3 hours after they left. So they left, they were going to go to the gas station thing and they were supposed to come back and they had been gone less than 3 hours, which isn't, I mean, you know, some people would go, oh, 3 hours. I mean, maybe they went and did something else.
But this group of people knew.
Exactly. And they notified the police immediately. Less than three. It hadn't even been gone. Like, gosh, they didn't come home last night. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
They went in immediately and it was like, oh, okay. You know what I mean?
We'll
like nothing happened to the point where they were still able to get lost and then froze to death.
Oh my gosh.
You know? And so I just like I said, all of those different components that led me down, led me down a number of rabbit holes,
kidding.
But also opened up a lot of questions. And I figured, you know, this would just be a good opportunity for us and continue to talk about these types of things that, you know, we do have this population. We should try to be mindful of these things. And like, it definitely, I didn't look at California and Idaho, for example, but I definitely wanted to look at like, okay, do we have something in place? Mm-hmm. Because I guarantee there, it just in this area that I live in, that you guys, obviously that everyone used to live in,
yeah.
This area that we're in, I guarantee we've had this happen. And like I said, I don't know that I've ever seen it labeled any differently other than maybe a missing person, or maybe I've seen a critical missing person, but usually I see those when it is someone who's suicidal or they have a mental illness component. So maybe they have schizophrenia, something like that.
I wonder if that's new, because I don't think I've ever seen a critical mm-hmm. missing person.
I've only seen it like a couple times now.
I did just Google it and it says the Idaho State Police created this account to share active amber, blue, and endangered missing persons alert endangered missing alert.
Mm-hmm. So alert, y'all have it endangered.
Missing. Yeah. That's what it seems like.
And I have seen that one more often. It seems like Florida, as far as what I found, Florida is the only one that I found a color to it. So just like silver, they kind of went on with colors and did purple. It seems like most of the other ones have some sort of endangered, obviously, other than New Jersey, that has a vulnerable person. So all that to say, look up in your area, you know what I mean? And when I started this search, I will say too, so this was, I found this like shocking, but if you go to a county, at least some of them, I found it in different states all over the country. But if you look at a county missing person, like for example, Los Angeles County missing persons, or I found some in like Humboldt County missing persons or something. If you look at an area, they actually have like a number of websites, or at least one website, where they just list all of the missing person for like a chunk of years. And so I found one that was like up in like Central California, but it was like 2010 to 2019. And I was like, wow. And I started going through, and this is just, it's not like endangered, obviously, it's just anyone that's missing. And I started going through and really like reading each synopsis. And then I was like, gosh, this keeps going. And then I like went like this, and it was like, brr, brr, and I was like, oh my God. And then I started to look through, and I saw it was like this county missing person, this county missing person. And I was like, dang. So you guys can just take a look at that too. And you could just look at
now I'm
county,
curious.
Maybe city. I don't know if it's big enough. You know, if you're not in a big enough city, maybe look at counties, but you will likely find a dedicated website to just missing persons or slash unsolved. At least some of, I saw some that were both, it was missing persons and unsolved together. And so some, and then that was hard too, because you'd have to go through and say, okay, this one's missing. Okay, this one's dead. You know, this one's missing, you know, so then you'd have to filter through, like some of these are still missing, but they're mixed in with all the people that are unsolved. And
well, and
did
I
you
just,
find one?
Yeah. I just put in our county missing persons. And it seems like it popped up kind of maybe all of them, like the state police. But theirs is called the Missing Persons Clearinghouse. And they have it missing persons by type. And you can choose disability records, catastrophe, endangered, involuntary, juvenile, and other. Wow.
So if you're curious, and like, and just to think that like I said, the one I saw was 2010 to 2019 only, and I saw a ton. And so then I was like, oh my gosh,
Casey,
what?
I clicked on this, this just blew me away because it's Idaho, it's a big state. So I clicked on catastrophe, right? And of course it's a person of any age who is missing after a catastrophe. So disasters, tornadoes, fires, right? You, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them. And all but one. So we have Donald Butler, age 102 when he was last seen in 1979.
Oh.
And then four other men went missing in 1980 on the same day. And they were 80, 49, 81, 53.
What happened?
I don't know.
What was that catastrophe? Okay, you're going to have to. Anywho.
Boating
digging
accident.
Aside. Oh, okay. That's crazy. Maybe they were two separate boats. But all that to say, I mean, if you guys, one, look up your local and your state, you know, regulations, if you have something for this type of population, and maybe just make note of it if you happen to see it pop up on like any alerts that come through. But then also, if you start looking at like your county, your city, wherever, look for missing persons, because then it, it I think I just wonder if we should go back and kind of look at, okay, maybe these ones were posted as regular old missing person, not to say that like any less sad, you know, but I'm saying, but like maybe going back to say, well, what about this person who maybe had a disability, and this is 5-10 years ago, but no one really noted it as anything special. And so, and obviously this, even these states, it's only been in the last few years that anyone has said, okay, we need some sort of system. So think about all the ones before then. Go ahead.
I agree. I guess if you need a short read, so to speak, in Idaho, the longest one so far has been endangered persons. And I want to say there's 20 or 30 on this list. That's it.
Wow. But again, only classified more recently, or do you have any time frames?
They go, I see 95.
Oh, okay.
I mean, like 94, and then it's always recent as like, I see 2022.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, I wonder, like, if is anyone going back and looking like, oh, okay, this actually should be classified as endangered versus just regular innocent person.
Because just clicked on a gentleman who wandered away from nursing home.
Oh.
Yeah, like this is a trip, y'all. So I agree with Casey. Go do this.
It's insane. You know, and like I just happened to see some in Central and Northern California, but I haven't even come back. Now, obviously it's hard because we're in North Los Angeles County, but Los Angeles County is enormous. Mm-hmm. And so I'm sure there's going to be like a bajillion, but I bet we're big enough here, don't you think, in the Antelope Valley to like narrow it down some?
I would think so. I mean, I really think so. But I mean, and if that isn't the case, then that goes to the argument that I had and will still have, that the AV is so different than LA, it should be its own county.
Yeah, I know. Anyway. But anywho, all that to say, there's some takeaway for you guys. But just, you know, four cases. One obviously is still missing, Miss Brooks, and back in North Carolina. And then the other three just kind of led to this greater problem I found. Obviously, the three men that I talked about from New Jersey. And I will be doing this again, I think, because I found, I think, at least three other cases where they might not be their own standalone episode, but we can talk about them and talk about the disparity in some of these cases or some of these situations where we probably need to be handling things a lot differently. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, like I said, it was very telling to me that these three men had two to three years after this bill was passed or this law was passed, and nothing. And it's not that they weren't notified, you know what I mean? And so then it's like, okay, so even if we say as a state, even if a state says we have something in place, is it really being utilized? And so that's going to be, I guess, my next probably rabbit hole to dive down. But you guys, I encourage you to start looking if you're curious, and, you know, start to pay attention, find out what your state does or what your area does, and see what happens.
Or I guess doesn't do, to Casey's point.
Exactly. I said, it's like, okay, it should be more than just we have this thing. You know,
yeah.
Like, are you actually using it? And I think that's the next step. So, anyway, food for thought for everyone.
Yeah, it's super interesting. And I would be also curious. I don't think I have the mental bandwidth to do it right now. But any of our outside the U.S. listeners, like, do y'all have something like that in your countries?
Is it used?
Yeah, like especially island countries, like
further out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'd be very curious. Yeah. Like once we get because that was the other thing is I thought, okay, I see these 11 states that are really listed as having something in place. Mm-hmm. But then I'm like, well, what if the other states have something? It's just different. But then how do you know? You know, so it's like, I almost want to just go down each state and be like, tell me if you have something in place. But again, for another time.
Super interesting. But okay, well, I think that was really... Like, I know you were concerned about it being a departure from kind of the norm for us, but I think really, really important conversation. And I think that's one of the reasons why we even do this to begin with, is to have a platform by which to bring up things that should be or could be discussed that maybe are not. So,
yeah, absolutely. So let me know if you guys enjoyed this. I do plan to do something similar again, you know, so hopefully you like it well enough, but... you know, as we just continue to have this conversation and to discuss this population that we discuss. So you guys have a good week. Monica, you have another good week at your new job.
Yes, I hope so.
And we will catch up with you guys next time. Thanks for joining us.
We sure will. Thanks, y'all. Be safe out there, and we'll catch you next time.
Absolutely. Bye.
Bye.